Welcome to the Faith Together podcast, and glad you are back with us. It is so good to be with you. And of course, as always, I am with Lindsay today. Hello, Lindsay.
Hey, Leon. Hi, everyone. Great to be here today.
Yes, it's always good for us to be able to share together. I always look forward to these times and being able to share some of the things we're learning as we continue to do our research and work at finding ways to help parents.
Yes. And I also think, Leon, that it is just so important for us to take the time to share what we've seen work, you know, in our own lives and with the families that we serve, and to hear from you as our listeners, what's working in your everyday lives as you share faith with your kids and your grandkids. So don't forget to reach out, let us know what's working for you, things you've tried, maybe what's not working. We can learn what not to do together.
Yeah. And speaking of having people contact us, let me put in a couple plugs here. One for our YouTube channel.
That's right.
Center for Faith and Family is the name of the YouTube channel where you can find us, and we would love for you to go there and subscribe, and that kind of helps get the word out. The other thing is we'd love for you to contact us through our website. And one of the things we're doing to incentivize you to do that is that we have a little thing we're doing right now, and it really started last week. So some people may already be on it. In fact, this is airing a week later than we're recording it. And when I left the office today, there were already a bunch of people that have done our little survey. So if you go to our website, centerff.com, you will see a nice little survey. I think it's like three questions. So it's the easiest survey you've ever taken.
Yeah, won't take long.
But it gives us some information about them. And then we're going to have a drawing on March 1st. And the drawing is a $50 Fandango card.
Ooh.
So a family can go to the movies on us. And then what is a movie without snacks?
You gotta have the snacks.
Gotta have the snacks.
Yes.
So we're gonna also include a $50 Visa card for lots of snacks. So we wanna help support families and not just do it on our podcast, but actually do it. So we'd love for you to get on our website, fill out that little survey. I think there's also a request that you like share with three people on Facebook and those kinds of things.
So share with your friends.
Right.
They could enter in the survey too.
Yeah, because we want the word to get out. Not so that somehow we can say, look what we've done, but rather help people that are looking for some help.
Right. And we know that we learn most when we learn together, when we share, you know, with one another.
And we share faith together, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So a three-question survey doesn't take long at all.
No.
I was at Culver's today, Leon, and I did the survey on my receipt to get free custard at the end of my meal. And that was like 10 questions. You know, this is easy.
This is
really three-question survey. You got it.
Yeah.
And it's a much better prize than just, you know, free custard at Culver's.
Yeah. I mean, this is a pretty nice little prize for a family. And hopefully we'll do this kind of thing more often.
Yeah. And there's a lot of great things coming out in the theaters right now. I know here on campus at Olivet, a lot of our students are going to go see The Chosen. Has just been released, season 4,
right.
I believe.
Yep, season 4.
Yeah, so that's a great thing to see, especially with your kids that are a little bit older. So,
sure.
Yeah,
sure.
Lots of good things out there.
Yep, absolutely. For families. So March 1st is when that drawing will be.
Well, Leon, speaking of fun things like going to the movies, I came across a fun story about a kid this week that I wanted to share with you that I had never heard before. And maybe you all as listeners have heard this before, but if not, I hope that you'll enjoy it as much as I have. I came across a book called I Can't Wait, and it's 52 stories of kids who changed their world that you can read together as a family. And so this was written and illustrated by Tim Elmore, who's a leadership expert down in Atlanta. And I got to meet Tim last fall. He came and shared with us at our church. And this book, he just takes time to really show exactly how kids are putting their faith into practice and how they are taking ownership of their faith right where they're at. And I know, Leon, you and I have talked a lot about that, that we don't want kids, we don't want to just pass a faith on, but we want them to own their faith.
That's right.
Yeah. And step into it. And so this story is by Mosiah Bridges, and it's entitled Mo's Bows. And I'm not going to read the whole thing to you, but basically the summary here is that Mosiah, or Mo, was like any other kid. He grew up except for a few disadvantages. His dad wasn't around, and so he was raised by a busy single mom, and they didn't have much. And one day, Mo heard someone say, "You have to dress up to go up. You have to dress up to go up." And so he took this advice to heart, and he wasn't quite sure how to do that, but he started paying attention to people who looked around and could dress really well. And he decided that he really liked bow ties. And so he began at 9 years old to design a bow tie that he felt looked better than ordinary ones do.
Okay.
Okay. He wanted to look sharp. He wanted to stand out. Creating them energized him. And so he started going by the nickname Mo, which then added to Mo's Bows. And soon he started to gain popularity with all these bow ties he was creating. And so at age 11, he got to appear on the show Shark Tank. Okay. Do you watch Shark Tank?
I've seen it. I mean, yeah, I don't like watch it on a regular basis, but I've seen it. Sure.
Yeah. Same thing. And so he goes on Shark Tank, and on the show, one of the judges, Kevin O'Leary, made him an offer, and he offered that he would get partial ownership of the company. And so Mo agreed to that. And then later, another judge, Damon John, who had not made him an offer, said he would mentor Mo for free, as long as he didn't give up all of his company to anyone, including the judge on Shark Tank, yeah, Kevin O'Leary. And so anyway, Mo took up John on his offer and explained that they began this friendship and this mentorship of John mentoring Mo and sharing with him like that he had had a really hard growing up and was raised by a single mom. And they just began this beautiful, you know, relationship of sharing life together. And then another breakthrough happened just about 2 years later after he was on Shark Tank, and the NBA heard of Mo's Bows and decided he was somebody they wanted to get behind. And so they made a deal with him and they asked him to design a special bow tie for all 30 of their NBA teams.
Wow.
And that year, Mo signed a 7-figure deal to license his designs and began designing the bow ties immediately. Mo's mom has taught him to budget his money, manage the sales, and they've spoken with other professional sports teams about making a bow tie for them. And Mo now has several full-time employees along with his mother, and he creates the designs in Memphis, Tennessee.
Wow. So, and how old is he?
So he started, he would have been 11 in 2013. So now he's 22. Yeah, now he'd be 22, but just an amazing, amazing story of, you know, taking ownership of something that he heard that he wanted to express in the world, that he wanted to share, and didn't allow his, you know, his situation to define him, and moved on to really help others and, you know, learn more about himself. And I know they share more about him mentoring other young kids, and that his mom grew him up in the faith and all those things. But I just thought that was a cool story. Remember that, you know, our kids can make a difference right now.
Yeah. I've not heard that story before, and that's pretty incredible. As I was listening to you, and I'm going to go off script here for a minute. As I was listening to you, I was thinking about a story that I just heard at our church. I may have shared this with you about one of our young ladies. She shared at 21 Days of Prayer that we were having at our church that she had an experience at school, and she was in the hallway. I believe she's third grade.
Okay.
And she was in the hallway at school, and it must have been when class was taking place. I'm not sure why she was in the hallway, but for the most part, it was empty. And she said as she's walking down the hallway, God punched her, which I thought was a really interesting way to describe what God was doing. But she said she looked up and there was a kindergartner that was crying in the hallway, and she went up to her and said, "Are you lost?" And she said, "Yes, I don't know where my class is." And so she helped her get to her class, and she described that as God punching her.
Wow.
That kind of just to be aware.
Yeah, getting her attention.
Yeah, and it's amazing the things that kids can do if we will raise them to be followers of Jesus. And mm-hmm. it's amazing things that they can do. So, yeah, I thought I'd just share that story to go along with the one you just shared, because that one was personal. And she's one of the kids that I get to serve with at church
that.
And was really proud that she allowed Jesus to use her.
Yeah, I bet you were. And I think it's just important to pay attention to those things that our kids are naturally inclined to do creatively, you know, whether it's creating bow ties or just something that they're really interested in, or helping others, you know, just being able to talk about those things and how God can use them right where they are, right in these moments.
Yeah, and as I gave thought to what Lauren did, I probably shouldn't use her name, but Lauren, congratulations, that's job well done. One of the things I thought about is, you know, that happens because she's got great parents.
Mm-hmm.
Not parents that get it all right all the time, like all of us, but parents who work hard to share their faith with their daughter so that she will live a faithful life too.
Yeah, that's awesome. I absolutely love that. And I think it's just such a great reminder for us to not give up, to keep on helping our kids to see God at work, keep sharing, keep modeling, keep doing that together.
Yeah, so that's great conversation, but we've not even gotten to our topic for today, Lindsay.
We haven't. What are we talking about today? Well, I shared the story of Moe's Bows, and you shared your story from church. And last week, we kicked off a new series all about living out the Shema.
Right.
And discovering God in our everyday lives. How do we, find those everyday moments and include Him in it with us and walk with Him and see Him every time, all different times of the day. And one of the ways that we talked about doing that last week was through storytelling, telling the stories of our own personal faith to our kids, having them share their stories of God with us. And so that was a really great episode. If you've not listened in, we encourage you to do so. And I thought it would be fitting for us to start with some stories today, but we're going to keep moving on, right, Leon?
Yeah, we are.
Yeah.
And we're going to move on to prayer today.
Prayer, yes.
Yeah, what a important topic as far as teaching it to our kids. And just a reminder, what we're doing as we walk through living out the Shema, we decided we were going to divide this up into two sections, kind of going from what verse 7 of Deuteronomy 6 says to when you're at home and when you're away from home. Mm-hmm. So these first few podcasts here in the series will be focusing on at home.
Yep.
Okay, so prayer, of course, can be done anywhere, but it seems like the training of prayer and the action of prayer often takes place in the home. So that's where we're going to start today. So what I want to do is divide up our topic into two categories. One on teaching kids about prayer, and then the second on prayer habits that we can begin to develop in our family. So helping kids understand what it is, and then showing them kind of what it looks like, and then having particular habits mm-hmm. that we do. So I think we should just start with what is prayer. I think helping kids understand what prayer is, sometimes that can be a little overwhelming. They think there's special words they have to say, you know, all of those kinds of things. So helping them to understand that prayer is having a conversation with God. A telephone might be a good example of this, where you're talking to someone, unless you're using FaceTime, you're talking to someone you can't see, mm-hmm. right? But you believe that they're there, you know that they're there, and you have a conversation with them. And of course, generally our conversation seems to be one way.
Right.
So we can teach kids how to listen, and I think we're going to have an episode on contemplative, reflective kinds of things that we can do with our kids to help them to hear the voice of God.
Yeah.
But at this point, helping them to understand that this is a conversation that they get to have with God. And of course, the Lord's Prayer from Matthew 6 mm-hmm. is a great model. When the disciples wanted to know how to pray, this is what Jesus taught them. So using that as a bit of a structure for how we pray, a good way to live that out. And I came across an acronym that I've used with my kids at church that I think can be really helpful in kind of understanding the steps of prayer.
Yeah.
So if we take the acronym PRAY, P-R-A-Y, and associate a word with each of those letters, it can help us. So we start with P, which is praise, telling God how wonderful he is, thanking him for the things that he's done, but really more focusing on the character of God rather than what God does for us.
Right.
Giving God the praise and the honor that he deserves.
More on who he is rather than what we want.
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly right. Yeah, that's good. And so praise is P. R is repent.
Okay.
So helping kids to learn that we can go to God and ask for forgiveness. Of course, the word repent, as you and I know, is a word that's sometimes misunderstood. Sometimes we think repenting is just saying we're sorry, when actually repenting means to turn in the opposite direction, right?
Yeah.
So I'm going one way in a way that is disobedient. I recognize what I'm doing is displeasing to God. And so in my act of asking for forgiveness, part of that is to turn away. And so helping our kids understand what it means to be people who repent. And this is something that should be done regularly, right? Even as followers of Jesus, we have things we need to ask for forgiveness for because
daily,
we fall short.
Hourly.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And the A is to ask. And I like that it's third and not like first or second.
Right.
It works nice in the acronym that we're using. So after we have praised God for who he is, and then we have asked him to forgive us and repented, then we can begin our ask. And we begin to ask God for the things that we need, things that we want even, as long as it's within his will. But then also to ask on the behalf of others.
Right.
So we sponsor two children. I know Shine just did a great fundraiser where they're sponsoring kids in Malawi, right?
Yeah.
And we do a similar kind of thing at our church where we sponsor two children. One in Tanzania, Africa.
Okay.
And the other in the Philippines. And during our prayer time, we get an opportunity to ask God to do things on their behalf, right? And so the kids are learning that when I ask God for things, it's not just for me. I'm asking God for the welfare of others as well.
Yeah, and what I really love about this acronym and about prayer and starting with what is prayer is we can't trust someone that we don't know. And so helping our kids to get to know God through this acronym, I think is really important. You might praise him for things that you never thought of before in his character.
Right.
You know,
right.
And so in turn, that helps you get to know him more. And when you think about living a life that he wants us to live, to look like him, to be a part of his family, you know, we're repenting so that we can look more like him. And suddenly, oh, that's more of who God is. It just, it reminds me of just this, you know, I don't know, almost like a stained glass window of all these pieces that can come together to give us a really beautiful picture of who God is.
Yeah. I like the way you said that. That's good.
Yeah. I love growing kids' imagination of who God can be in their lives.
Yeah. I love working with you on this podcast because you see things through a unique lens and you have a way of describing things that sometimes I'm a little more matter of fact about.
Oh, gotcha.
And you kind of...
Hey, we're a good duo.
But I hope so. from my perspective, we are. So thank you for that.
No, thank you for saying that. Yeah.
Okay, so praise, repent, ask, and then the Y is yield.
Ooh.
And this one may not be as obvious what it would be, but the yield idea is that we yield our lives to Jesus, that we begin to live out the life that he has called us to. And so we ask him to help us to allow him to work in us and do the work that he wants us to do. So to be available like Lauren was, to help someone in need. So I yield my own will and desire to the will and desire of God instead of doing my own thing.
Yeah, it reminds me, another Y word we could put there is yes, like saying yes
sure
to the Lord. I remember a few years ago, I had a really good friend praying with me on a decision I had to make. And she said, you know what, Lindsay, as we wrap up this prayer, let's just tell the Lord whatever he says, our answer is yes.
Yeah.
And that's always stuck with me, you know, that, okay, Lord, whatever you say, my answer is yes to that.
Yeah. That's a great posture to have.
Yeah.
At all times, right?
Yeah. Really, really powerful.
Good. So teaching kids those four steps of prayer might be really, really helpful. And as parents, we could model this. We could say, we're going to work on this thing called pray, and we're going to do praise and repent and ask and yield, and I'm going to do it. Let me show you what it's like. And, mm-hmm. and you begin doing this kind of as a pattern in your life. You know, we're praying at times. Sometimes, unfortunately, our kids don't get to see us pray very often, except it's a meal time or bedtime.
Right.
So this gives us an opportunity to be really intentional about teaching them how to pray.
And I know a few families at our church, they have journals or notebooks where they will use this acronym or other things to write out prayers back and forth together, which is also a great way to start if it feels a little intimidating to do it out loud together. You can start by writing it down together and reading it.
Yeah, and then to go back and say, look how God answered these things that we asked for.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and to address that.
Yeah, the faithfulness of God, being a people that remember what he's done in our stories.
Yeah, that's great.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, because I work with kids a lot, I'm always looking for these little, you know, systems of being able to communicate certain things. And I love, and I'm sure many of you have heard of this, the hand prayer. And there's a couple different hand prayers that I'm aware of. The first of those has to do kind of like the order of prayer, almost like what we just talked about. So if you hold up your hand and kind of face it so that your thumb is close to you and your pinky is far from you, then your thumb is you tell God how awesome he is. That would be the praise. You're an awesome God. The pointer is thank you, God, for all that you do and
love
for
that.
Who you are. That's the pointer. The middle finger would be, I'm sorry for the things that I've done wrong. That's the repent, right? And then the ring finger is, help me to live the way you want me to live. That's a little bit of the yield. And then, and asking as well.
Right.
And then the pinky is to help others. So it's just a little system.
Yeah.
You're awesome, God. Thank you for who you are and what you do. I'm sorry for the things that I have done that you're displeased with, or that you would rather I didn't do because you know it brings harm to me. Help me, and then help others. So I thought that's a really helpful little thing. And what we're going to do is I'm going to put that model on our website under our resources, so that if you would like to access that, so you'll remember, maybe you're doing the dishes right now and you don't have any way to write things down. So that'll be available if you choose to use it. So that one is a prayer on kind of the order in which we pray.
Yeah.
Then there's another hand prayer that are things to pray for.
Oh,
and this one we use at church often. Well, not often. Occasionally, that's probably a better way to say it. So again, holding the hand the same way.
Mm-hmm.
The thumb is prayer for my family.
Okay.
The pointer is prayer for my teachers, whether that be teachers at church or teachers at school.
Mm-hmm.
The middle finger is people who are in charge in my life. So my parents, my grandparents, but even things like police officers and firefighters
leaders.
And people in the community, right? The mayor and other leaders who are in charge. The ring finger is people who are in trouble or in need. And these may be people I know, or they may be people I don't know.
Okay.
And then the pinky is myself. So just different things that we can do to help our kids give thought to what prayer might look like.
Yeah, I love that because I think it's easy to go straight to the pinky for kids. This is what I need.
Yeah.
This
is
what I'm thinking. This is what's going
on. Well, for adults too, right?
Yes.
I mean, we do the same thing.
All of us. Yeah. Yeah. So this is a good filter to have to go through all those things and to model that with kids together, where we might say, oh, I forgot that we need to pray for them. And how many times, Leon, do we say to people, yeah, we're going to pray for you. We'll be praying for you. And you know, I've just tried to get myself into the habit when I say that, that I stop and actually pray with them in that moment,
right,
or take that time soon after, because it's easy to forget. And I love this visual reminder of praying for others.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
You can't lose it. It's right there attached to
exactly.
your arm.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
That's so great. Okay, so that's the first thing that I wanted us to talk about today as we talked about prayer, teaching kids about prayer. And the second thing I'd like for us to talk about are the prayer habits in our family. For some families, this might be a new thing where we get into some habits. And I found some habits that I was aware of, and then some that are kind of challenging my thinking a little bit.
Okay.
So you and I have been reading a book together called Habits of the Household.
We have, yes.
By Justin Early. I'm not sure how he pronounces his last name.
Yeah.
And we reached out to them, and unfortunately, he is not available to be on our podcast, but there are some things in the book that I thought were really helpful. And one of those habits that he talks about is a gathering and sending prayer. And that really kind of caught my attention.
Mm-hmm.
And I like what they do. So his recommendation or his suggestion is that you, before everybody leaves the house in the morning, you gather at the kitchen table, at the front door,
mm-hmm.
and you pray together, and you pray about the day together as you send them off. Another thing that can be done is it can be done in the car as well, right?
Right.
Now, you may not all be traveling together, but you can still do it in the car. And I remember back when my adult kids were children, this was a habit that my wife started when she started taking our kids to school, is that she would pray for them in the car. Unless they have some kind of a computer thing with them in the back seat of the car, you have undivided attention.
You do. They're not right? going anywhere.
Right. And so it's a great time to model for them a prayer mm-hmm. and asking God to do things in their lives during the day.
And I've had families share with me that take advantage of the time in the car, whether it's in the car line to pick up or whatever, that they learn things going on in their kids' hearts that they didn't realize was going on during this prayer time consistently.
Yeah, I think it's a great time to, as we learn about the struggles that our kids might be having at school, someone that's not being kind to them or whatever, we can address those in that prayer.
Agreed.
Now, one of the, I'm going to ask you to do something with me, Lindsay. This
okay.
may be, I didn't warn you about this. This may be a little strange, but I think it'll be a good model for,
I'm always ready for an adventure.
For our families.
Leon,
okay, so. good. So they talk about, and I'm going to actually steal right out of the book here. Okay. So they talk about a repeat prayer mm-hmm. where, and you may remember this from when you read it, that the parent prays and then the other parent and or kids
mm-hmm.
Repeat.
Yes.
Okay. So
yes.
I'm going to be the parent and you're going to be the child.
Okay.
Okay. And so you're going to repeat. And I love this prayer. I think this prayer is something that could be memorized. I think it's great doing prayers that are common to us, that are familiar to us.
Yeah.
As well as kind of off the top of our head prayers.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Absolutely.
Okay. So here's how it starts. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Thank you for this day.
Thank you for this day.
Bless us as we work, study, and play.
Bless us as we work, study, and play.
Be present with us in all we do.
Be present with us in all we do.
May we bring glory and honor to you.
May we bring glory and honor to you.
And then everybody says,
Amen.
Amen. Right? So it's kind of a rhyme prayer.
I am a big fan of rhyming.
It's a responsive prayer.
Just helps
prayer.
You remember.
Sure.
Uh-huh.
And so this is a prayer that if you were to do something like this, and it doesn't have to be this prayer,
mm-hmm.
but if you did something like this on a regular basis, when our kids are at school and they're having that struggle, it just may be that the Holy Spirit would bring this prayer back to their mind.
That's right.
And let them know that they are important to us. Yeah, so these gathering and sending prayers really give us as adults an opportunity to pray for the needs and the issues,
mm-hmm.
you know, that our kids might be having at school.
And if that prayer is something that maybe doesn't translate to your family, maybe you make one up together. You could create one.
Sure. Yeah, that would be fun to sit down and actually write one out together, figure out what you want to say and write it out together, and then make that your family prayer.
Yeah.
Yeah, what a great idea. And to start each day that way. Before we separate from each other, this is a prayer that we want to pray for each other, because we won't see each other until we're back together again at night, right?
Yes, absolutely.
And then there are two other prayers that kind of fit into this section of habit prayers, where we create patterns and habits. One of those would be a mealtime prayer. Mealtime, goodness, there is more research than we could possibly uncover.
It's so true.
On the power of meals, whether it's from a Christian perspective or a non-Christian perspective, there has been so much research done on the importance of families eating together. And so this is a significant time for families to have prayer together. And we're going to have a whole episode on mealtime,
right?
We will. So I'm not going to go into details here, but I just want to name that as one of those recurring habitual prayers that we would have that are part of our life.
Yes, it definitely should be on the list.
Yeah, for sure. And then the last one, not that this is an inclusive list, I'm sure there are many others, but would be bedtime prayers. Just bedtime in general. This is a topic that has captured my imagination.
Really?
I am to the point that I might even write a book on this.
Wow.
I mean, I am just, there is something that just intrigues me about what happens during bedtime.
Mm-hmm.
And, just a real quick little story about something I do in one of my classes. So in one of my children's ministry classes at Olivet, students are required to interview three children, and we give them a series of questions they want them to do. And it's a really great experience both for the kids and for my students. And one of those questions is, does God ever speak to you? And they talk a little bit about prayer, and does God ever speak to you? And of course, most of the time the kids say no.
Yeah.
But often, usually like within one class each semester, there will be a child that says yes. Mm-hmm. And when they follow up the question with, well, when did you hear God speak to you? I would guess 95% of the time it's when they're in bed.
Wow.
And so I've just been intrigued by, what is it about those moments that are so significant that kids can hear from God?
Yeah, I think that could be a whole nother episode.
Yes. So I think we'll have one probably on mealtime, and then we'll have one on bedtime, and I'll geek out on that one.
Yeah, because what is it about, we were just talking about this before we went on air, but what is it about rest and bringing our souls to rest, bringing our minds to rest, that allows us to hear from the Lord in new ways?
Right, right. Yeah. I agree. And you have some ideas about types
of
prayers
as
well, too.
Just a couple more. Nothing huge here, but you have heard me, listeners, share before at our Advent series about breath prayers, and that breath prayers are a great practice for finding ways to simply pray to the Lord using the rhythm of your breath. So inhaling and exhaling, and on the inhale and on the exhale, you're saying a phrase that reminds you of the Lord, that reminds you of a scripture, and then on the exhale, you're saying another phrase that reminds you of the Lord and reminds you of a scripture. And so we've seen in a lot of research that breathing is one of the things that helps kids who've experienced trauma, who've experienced just a hard, stressful situation, when your brain begins to respond with all those stress stimulators, you begin to go to the part of your brain, and I'm not a scientist or a neurosurgeon, so I'm not going to have all the correct terminology here, but basically your brain begins to go offline because you're in fight or flight during those stressful times. And so we want to move in a way that our brains can come back online. And there's two really good ways to do that for kids, and that is breathing and play. And I would argue it's great for adults too.
Yeah, I would agree too.
And so breathing and sharing prayers with the Lord with the rhythm of our breath not only is a great connection point for us with the Lord, but it's a great connection point for just our everyday stress signals and things that might be happening that we need a moment to breathe. So it might be things like this. This last month, our Bible verse was Luke 16:10, which talks about when you are entrusted with something small, you may also be entrusted with something bigger, and talking about being good stewards and being responsible of what God's given us. And so taught the kids a breath prayer where we would inhale and we would say, Lord, I can be Lord, help me to be trusted with something small. Exhale, so I can be trusted with something bigger, you know, and we would just say that again and again. It got like what we talk about with the Shema. We want faith to get inside of us,
right,
you know, and so it helps to just put those things inside of us so we don't forget. Another thing that we've talked about, Leon, you and I, is Lectio Divina. It's a great practice of just listening to scripture. I love the app Lectio 365. It's great for all ages. You pull it up on your phone and just listen to scripture and prayers.
Yeah.
And
that phrase probably scares some people
yes.
a little bit, right? I believe it's Latin.
It is a Latin phrase,
right?
Yeah.
And it just means to read and meditate and pray.
It does. Exactly.
And so I found some graphics as well as some little worksheets on the Lectio Divina for kids.
Oh, great.
And so I'm going to put that. It's a free resource. It's just out there. So I'm going to put that on the website as well under our resources in case parents want to explore a little more in that. You know, we've not really described it in detail. But it'll be there, and who knows, maybe we'll do an episode on how to live out the Lectio Divina in your life.
Yeah, there's a lot there, but I would,
yeah,
it's a great practice for not only prayer, but for scripture and just getting those things inside you, as we've been discussing. I love, Leon, how the podcast listeners, we're learning right with you with all
Absolutely.
These topics.
Yeah, for sure.
I love how we learn. And then the last thing I just wanted to share is that written prayers are just as the one that we read from Habits of the Household. Those are great tools to have with your family. If you're not sure where to start, it's okay to read written prayers that have already been written for you.
Yeah. And my experience with written prayers, especially some of the more ancient written prayers, is often, and I find this in the Psalms as well and other scriptures, where the author says what I want to say in words I wouldn't know to say. I have this sense or this feeling within me that I want to communicate, and I'm just not sure what words to use. And then I read what someone else has said, and I think, yes, that's exactly what I was thinking. How did they know that? You know?
Yes.
And so reading the prayer that others have written and that have been prayed through the years, I think is a good practice.
It is. It's a wonderful practice. And I'll put this on our website as well. I have a book that I love to give to parents. It's called To Light Their Way, and it's a collection of prayers and liturgies for parents. And
Wonderful.
It goes through every holiday. It actually has a whole section on breath prayers you can pray with your kids. It goes through just all sorts of things that might be sad that happen in your family, a natural disaster, maybe losing a pet. It also talks about those special milestone moments, the first day of school. So all sorts of prayers for the everyday moments. So we'll have that on our website for you as well if written prayers is a place you want to start.
That's really good. So thanks for those resources, Lindsay. That's great. That's really helpful. I feel like maybe we've gone a little long today. I haven't been keeping an eye on the clock, but this is such a important topic. We could probably expand it beyond what we've shared, but we've just kind of scratched the surface a little bit. I think one of the things we want to try to communicate is that prayer is really, really important as we're helping our kids to own their faith, teaching them how to pray, and then learning maybe along with them. Because for us adults, prayer can also be an intimidating thing. And it's a really important discipline in the life of a follower of Jesus.
Yeah, and I think too, Leon, it's important that we take time to pray for our kids. It softens our hearts for them. Of course, we're praying for them, we're thinking of them, but taking time to specifically pray different things for them in front of them and not in front of them, it's such a practice that leads us closer and closer to the heart of God and to them and connection with them.
Yeah. That's great. Well, thank you for being with us again today. Before we kind of wrap this up, let me let you know that next week we will be talking about mealtime. And some ideas around mealtime of ways to make it an effective experience in our lives, a spiritual experience, which is a great opportunity for us. I also want to remind you of the survey that's on our website. Man, I'd love for you to get those gift cards and just enjoy with your family. And if for some reason you don't get the gift card, take the opportunity to just do something fun with your family together. Those are such significant moments and times that kids will remember with their parents. So thanks for joining us today. May the Lord bless you, keep you, and give you peace. You've been listening to the Faith Together podcast from the Center for Faith and Family at Olivet Nazarene University. Sign up for additional resources at centerff.com. When building faith, we are better together.